Welcome to the Infinite Tangent Podcast. I'm your host, Kaylee Koo. I am an ordained metaphysical minister with a master's degree in metaphysics and a bachelor's in philosophy, and I love to talk about interesting topics, and that's why we're here on this podcast. But here's the catch. I have really bad ADHD, and we are probably going to go on a tangent, so if you are a neurodivergent listener, this is a podcast for you. So once again, we are broadcasting from my hot tub. I feel like this is kind of my thing, but I don't plan on doing every episode like this. It's just that I have been taking advantage of the fact that I have a hot tub right now and that it's snowing constantly here in Minnesota, where I'm broadcasting out of currently. I will be broadcasting in other places and I will do different scenarios, but today we got more hot tub action. That's supposed to be a drum roll, but whatever. So today, I want to talk about the fact that you are what you eat. And just kind of health in general. I know we attempted to get into health in the last tangent, but literally didn't happen. We talked about water instead. And so in this episode, we're probably, again, not going to talk about health, but I'm going to try to get into it. Excuse my tangents. So rather than talk about exercise, I wanted to talk about diet in this podcast. So what we are eating, like nutrition and things that we're taking in, I just have a feeling we're not going to stay on topic, but essentially, there's a lot of vegan culture out there. And, you know, veganism is very opposed to eating meats or animal products of any kind. And while that is a lovely perspective and a lovely way of life, and you can be vegan if you choose to do so, it is really hard to be truly, truly vegan in today's culture. Back in the day, like when you could literally have completely 100% your own farms, you could do it. And if you continue to do that today, if you farm everything yourself, you could be 100% vegan. But the issue is, you go to the store, you buy organic tomatoes. They are not vegan because essentially the fertilizers used to put into the soil have animal byproducts in them. And there's so many different levels of animal products are everywhere. At some point, we are using animal products. And, you know, there's different things about this where in today's timeline, veganism is a philosophy that you can choose to follow. But if you really want to be 100%, you better wake up in another timeline, because this reality is not cut out for it, unfortunately. And I'm not trying to disrespect anyone who chooses to be vegan or even vegetarian. I like to identify as flexitarian. I try to eat meat with intention. So whenever I do eat meat, I kind of bless the meat and I give thanks to whatever animal it is. Like if I have a burger, I'm going to say thank you to the cow who had to die for this. If I'm eating cheese, I'm like, thank you to the cow who got milked for this. Like, you go, queen. Like, thank you. You did something good for us. Like, gratitude's important, I think, with all of our food. The vegetables, the fruits, all the different things we consume, we like to say thank you. For, like, being a fruit, for being this essence. And if we're going to get a little bit back into what we talked about in the last podcast about water, and we consume it and we become it, we can say the same thing about food. So, what does that mean, though, that you can be vegan in another timeline versus this timeline? So, if you're not very familiar with, like, the Matrix theory or different timelines or quantum theory, the most simple recap I can give is there's no such thing as past. There's no such thing as a future. The only thing we have actual proof of is the now. We have evidence of the past. We have evidence that there will be a future, but we have no experience of either. all we have experience is the present, the here and the now. So when we look at the different situations of things that are going on, let's take, for example, the past, because I think most people are comfortable with the past, and for some, they're comfortable with the past a little bit too much. You know, people are stuck in the past sometimes. We are comfortable with the past because it's what we knew before. And the hard thing for people to grasp is the we, or us, or I, the self, basically. The self that you are now is not the same self that you were in the past. And that's really hard for people to wrap their heads around. And the self you will become is not who you are now. We have different essences for every single point in time. You know, that takes a minute to sink in. And I'll let you take a moment to sink it in while I refresh my hot tubs thing so it doesn't go off on us randomly. Okay. So, now that that's sunk in a little bit, we are the present. That's all we will ever be. But the future version of us is created not just from our present, but from our past as well. And that might be easy to think about because we like to think of time as being linear. But what if I told you the past version of ourself is also created by the future versions of ourself? Because this is actually true. Our future versions of ourselves are literally going and sending energy back in time so that our past version reciprocates that energy. And in a weird way, the now is like a two-way mirror. We're reflecting who we are now into the future and into the past. And that's reflecting back to us. So that's why we have different timelines that don't match our memories half the time. So that's where we get into the Mandela effect. And I think at this point, most of us know what the Mandela effect is. If you don't, it's that thing where everybody seems to have the same wrong memories about the collective past. So for example, we often remember like Curious George having a tail, or the Berenstain Bears, the way that's spelled. Those are just like pop culture things that were like misinformation. But there's like several of these things that happen where Thanksgiving is coming up soon. And I know there's a lot of people that have been tripping out that Thanksgiving is the last Thursday of the month this year, because other years it has been the third Thanksgiving of the month. Oh, excuse me. I have to let my kitty cat into the house real quick.
Oops, the snow's getting into my mic. Anyway, back to the idea of Thanksgiving being on the third or last Thursday of the month. This is something where we have shared false memories, but are they really false? If you're going to ask me, who has studied metaphysics and has studied different types of philosophy and studied neuroscience, I'm going to tell you that it's both. We do have false memories physically. Physically, neurologically, our memories are false. But metaphysically, we are getting evidence that we are on a different timeline. So what does that entail and what does that mean? Because literally so many people experience the Mandela effect and get really weirded out because they have all these different theories. Like, did we end up on a different timeline? Was it the CERN project that did it? The Hadron Collider that sent us into a different timeline? Like, why are we experiencing different timelines? And the reality of all things is we don't ask why. because the why is sometimes infinite. And that's a big thing. That's what philosophy is all about, is finding the why. But some of these whys are a little bit beyond our capacity to understand. So that being said, there are people who are spiritually awakened and enlightened who want to hear these things and want to understand the why. And if you're ready to hear it, I do have a few different answers for this. So realistically, we are looking at time shifts and different timelines and different versions of infinity. So infinity is not one infinite timeline, but all the infinite timelines combined together. So that's what's very interesting about infinity. So if you were, let's just say, like person A, in an example, person A goes to school, goes home, has lasagna for dinner, and then takes a bubble bath and goes to bed. Person B, which is technically, I'm in a hot tub. That's what, it happens when we do the hot tub podcasts. But person B, technically the same person on the same day at the same time. What's different about this scenario is that they are from a different version. So person B goes to school, has fettuccine, and takes a shower and goes to bed. Is their life completely different? No, but did two different things happen? Yes. So what that is a time branch. And we see this in a lot of movies that like to explore time travel, where, you know, if you change one thing, then everything is like a cycle. But the other thing we don't talk about a lot is how they can branch back together. So let's just say person A, who had lasagna, and person B, who had fettuccine, go to the next day. The next day, both person A and both person B might be eating a hamburger for dinner, and they both do it. And they have this same experience, even though the day before the two realities were split, they can merge back together. And it's really hard for a lot of people to understand this kind of timeline effect. But we can go to kind of all sorts of different scenarios, especially when we're dealing with like time travel and like existential universalism and quantum physics and things like that. So I just want people to understand what time really is. So my understanding, which I have some explanations that I'm still working on publishing that are from my undergrad capstone thesis, it has a lot to do with space and time. I studied in my undergrad, my bachelor's program, studied Immanuel Kant and the like concept of like nothingness and thingness and like what it means like to have shape and form in matter and what it means to have nothingness. And it's a very complicated thing to understand. If you're familiar with Kant at all, it's a lot to wrap your head around. And what I've kind of come to understand through studying some of that is like how space and time kind of work. Because today, a lot of what we base our stuff on is Einstein's theory of relativity, which is, you know, a little bit dated and not so much intact with the quantum physics, but he does have a point. So I do believe that relativity exists, and I would love to publish some of my findings of this, but I've done experiments on airplanes. So ever since I was in college, so this must have been like 2016 or 2017, I started doing these time experiments. So I've got a like old school TikTok watch. And then I had my digital watch on my phone. The airplane has a clock too, right? And so I like to fly on Delta where they have the little screens. You know, I got my American Express, so they make it more fun. And they have the screens where you can like check the altitude that you're flying at and the speed and all the statistics that you need to do an experiment. So, and I was in college out of state and I'd fly home all the time. And so it gave me wonderful opportunities to really measure the like statistics and the time dilation that was happening on airplanes. So my findings were very interesting because basically what had happened was most of my flights that took place were cross country. So across the United States, I went to school in Arizona. I would either fly to Minnesota or Florida from there. And, you know, that's like West Coast to East Coast or West or South Coast to North Coast. It's one of the two. And so, you know, I'm flying over mountains, over canyons, over flat plains, and I got really interesting findings from this. So basically, the data I gathered showed time dilation varied over the canyons and over the mountains based on my watch and the digital time. And the crazy thing was there were variances when I was up in the air, and the variances were more extreme over one versus the other. And then when we would land, they would sync up again. And so it shows that when you're up in the sky and you're moving at the speeds that you're moving, time dilation occurs. And as soon as you return to the speed of the world around you, you return to that time. So what does this mean? It's also, I found out low-key, not as scientific. I was recording every little thing of data on the airplanes, but I low-key just started paying attention and found out, I'm pretty sure this is true in cars too. I want you to think about this. You or your friend or somebody you know, they get in their car and their car's clock is off by just a minute or two. Have you noticed that? And you think about when you or the person driving has reset their clock last. Sometimes it's daylight savings. That's when it's a whole hour off. And that's not what I'm talking about. But when it's just a few minutes off, ask them or ask yourself, how long has it been since I've reset the time? Chances are, it's not about duration, it's about how many miles you've driven. Check your mileage and figure out, like, have you driven a certain amount of miles since your clock has been reset? And it doesn't take that many miles. I feel like it's only like 1,000 or, you know, this is something I need to like sit and record. But when I'm driving, I don't record my data. I'm driving somewhere. But in my head, I've started to notice this pattern, which is almost the same thing as airplanes. When you go at high speeds, you're moving through time faster. When you're sitting still, you're moving slower through time, and you're at different rates of timelines. So another thing about space and time is gravity. So that's where those airplane experiments that I did took into account how high in elevation the plane was and how much distance there was from the ground below. Because I flew over sea level land, that was one speed. And then when I was flying over the Grand Canyon, it was completely different. That was the biggest difference. And when I was over the mountains, it was such a subtle difference. Excuse me. But the idea is the more distance of gravity, the farther away you are from the center of gravity, the faster time moves, and the faster it moves, the more singularity it gets, is almost as if it doesn't exist. And the more dense we get, the lower, the more down to earth, the slower and more dense and prolonged things get. So when we're talking about our reality and our experience of time, we are seeing like this whole like interesting way of experiencing our reality. So that's not to say that, you know, if you, let's just say you're a flight attendant, you're zipping around on the sky all the time, your life doesn't go by like in a blink of an eye. It does, but it doesn't. In fact, because you're moving faster, you're like technically aging slower to an extent, but you're not, because you are in a different timeline, and then you return to the timeline that other people are at, and then you go back up into a timeline. So the idea is that there's different timelines, and while we do have shared experiences, we also have our own distinct experiences, because all of us move at different rates at all times. So yes, I could be walking at the exact same pace as my friend. Okay, they're sitting next to me, they're walking at the same pace as me, sure. But then they get in a car and they drive and they go faster than me. Now they're on a different reality timeline. Sorry for my hot tip, once again. Then, let's say I get on an airplane and I go even faster. So I'm even different timeline. And this is just speeds. But then when we reconnect, we go back to that same timeline. And this is like the hardest part to understand, because we want to know, okay, where's the grandfather complex? Like when you go back in time, it's no, you're not going back or forward in time. There's only now, only the present moment exists. So like the hard thing for people to understand is like, we each have our own unique experience. That's what's so difficult for people to understand. And our unique experiences are defined by our perception of reality, which is cognitive, which has to do with our neurotransmitters. And again, going into my last podcast about like how we are earth and fire and air and water, it's that fire, the synapses in our brain that create time, create our reality. And it's the air, the spirituality, that lets us discover and explore different versions of that. That's what kind of guides us. And our emotional center is centered around water. Whoosh, had to make a sound effect. And then our physical center is around the physical body. And so getting back into the physical body, when we have different realities, we need to kind of nurture these different realities, these different timelines. So like there is a version of you that's very in shape, that has like the most perfect body, the most defined muscles. And there's a version of you that's completely obese, overweight, doesn't take care of himself, doesn't shower. And you are aligning with whatever energy had the most power. So your energy is going to resonate with your being. And it's that present consciousness that determines what goes on with it. So essentially, we are not just what we eat, but what we decide to experience. So it is a combination. If you are manifesting, doing the water tricks that we talked about in the last podcast, where you talk to your water to manifest, let's say you're physically working out, but you're eating garbage, you're still not giving yourself that full 360 balance that's going to make you that version of yourself that you want to be. And it's hard to match the wants with the actions, because yeah, like we all want to be in shape, I'm sure, at some point in our lives, And then there's a time where we all experience wanting to let go and not worrying about our physique, because it's a lot of work and it's hard on us. Sometimes we just want to gorge and eat some cheese fries, or, you know, sit and not exercise and cuddle up in a cozy blanket and watch a movie. Like, we want all those things. And to experience all of it, we gotta have that balance, you know? So the reality is, first of all, you are what you eat. So eating different types of food is very helpful. And then watching your calories and your portions. The portions are huge, especially in the United States. You know, that's where I live. And I think that in America, we give ourselves like the whole plate, because when America was first established, it was so cool for these people who came from very portioned meals to be able to come over here, like after a famine, and just like have an abundance of food, and they just stack the plates full, and it's just been a tradition here. And now it's leading to health issues because we process our food. And so we need to kind of resort back into correct portions, because our stomach is only like the size of your fist at a time. That's like your meal. And we pack our plates, especially like if you go to Texas and they give you a meal bigger than the entire body or bigger than your head. I don't know. God bless Texas and all their brisket, but that is the last place you want to be if you want good portions. And, you know, it's okay to eat a big meal once in a while. Like, I know Thanksgiving is approaching, and that holiday in America is all about being grateful and abundant. And, like, we look back at people who were starving and when they first came to America had the opportunity to gorge. Like I said, when people came to America, they had abundant resources all of a sudden when they weren't used to that. And that's where this gluttonous behavior kind of comes from. And we need to kind of resort back. Yes, we have this abundance and we have the luxury of having all this food available to us whenever we want. But do we need it? And can that go elsewhere? Because I think Americans, out of all the people in the world, waste the most food, and they waste it extremely badly. Like, people, especially on TikTok, just like wasting food just to make content. You know, I'm glad that it's now the age of Aquarius, and Pluto's in Aquarius, and we're gonna see a lot of death to Capricorn energy, which includes social media and influencers, and we're gonna see a lot more people who are being influencers via knowledge and information and technology. And that's exciting. So essentially, the ideas that we're getting into here are, you know, space and time and reality is subjective to your own perspective and your own consciousness. And the choices that you make with your diet and the things that you eat and the choices that you like have in life, these are things that you're in control of because of the present moment, the here and the now. There is no past. There is no future. There's only now. So now in this moment, you can become the things you consume, whether that be water like we talked about in our previous podcast, or whether that be your diet and your nutritional intake. It's all a circle. And I know that there's a lot of people who are vegan curious or are truly vegan. And if that lifestyle fancies you, do it. If that's what it takes for you to connect with your spirituality, absolutely do it. But just know that, unfortunately, the only way to truly, truly be vegan is to do it all yourself and be in control of your own food. And in reality, it's not just the vegans. If all of us could be in control of our food, even the people who eat meat and use animal products, if we could milk our own cows and farm our own chickens, we would be in control of what we're putting in our bodies 100%. But unfortunately, it's not how it works. And you know what? This new age of Aquarius, we might see some shifts into bringing that energy into where we want it to be and having that reality that we so desire for our health and our nutrition. So I'd just like to take a moment to thank y'all for coming and being a part of this podcast in my hot tub. Thank you for joining us on the Infinite Tangent, and you can definitely send me a DM on Instagram or leave a comment, and I would be happy to answer any questions that you might have, and we'll see you next time.